Well, here we are, heavenly versus earthly. Is there a heaven? Is there a heavenly place? Is there a kingdom of God? Well, we all know about the earth, right? So there's the heavenly versus the earthly. And what I'm hoping to firm up who we are. Because we always need to be firmed up in who we are. Otherwise, we might get confused. Especially when things aren't going so good. There was the first man and there was the second man. You know that? There was only two men. Adam and Christ. Adam was the first man. God breathed in him. He became a living soul. The second man, or the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. That was Jesus. As a Christian, can you be part of both, just a little of each? Do you have permission to be a little of each? A mix? The only way you're going to be any good on this earth is to be 100% heavenly. If you're 100% heavenly, you can actually be an influence while you dwell on this earth. But you don't get to be a little earthly and a little heavenly and kind of be earthly when you want to be and heavenly when, you know. And when I'm done with the message today, you can judge if this, even the scripture might say that. A little side note. When we meet here, and if we're really led by the Spirit in our midst here, we'll have total freedom, and yet everything will be done in order because the Spirit is a spirit of order. So, when we come and meet, we want to be people who are led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. All right, well, I got a little diagram up here. Been kind of coming up lately. I thought maybe I'd say something about this. So it's a diagram of a three-part being. Your body and soul and spirit. There's three parts. And you see that word God there? For a Christian, God dwells right in the center, in the middle, in the innermost man. If you're looking for God, that's where you got to go. If you want to hear from God, you got to hear from the inside. Oh. Sometimes we want God to be out there. But God is in here. In the innermost. God's rescue mission was to save my soul. And your soul. And the souls of all men. To do that, Jesus became that life-giving spirit through the work on the cross. And all who believe in Him are born again and receive His Spirit in our innermost being. He moves in to you. His life comes into you in the inside. That's where God dwells. That's where He dwells. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says, we will come and make our abode in you. I mean, this is good news. Some people want to chase around and look for God. I tell you, God found you. And He moved in. But there had to be some house cleaning before He did that. So, here's a little analogy here. I want you to catch on to this. And I've preached on it before, but it's worth looking at again. Or do you not know, brethren? For I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. So, I'm going to read the rest of that in just a second. If you're in your Bibles, this is the first part of Romans 7 here. There is a jurisdiction. That's a legal term. Jurisdiction. How many of you remember watching Dukes of Hazzard? And they had to get in their car and they had to drive as fast as they could and get over the county line. And then they'd turn around and laugh at the sheriff because he had no jurisdiction when they got over the county line. That's what jurisdiction is. It says the law has jurisdiction over a man as long as what? He lives. You got to catch that now. He's got jurisdiction over you as long as you live. So while we were stuck in Adam, we were under the covenant of the law and we were stuck in our sin. Because law and sin go together. If you're under the jurisdiction of the law, you're also under the jurisdiction of sin. And sin becomes a controlling force. So since the law was not the problem, by the way, the law is good and the law is holy. But there was a problem with me and there was a problem with man because when you were born, you were already in the loins of Adam, the first man, so that whoever is born of a woman comes from Adam. It all goes back. Even the scientists are saying now it all goes back. There's DNA, but then there's another thing, another whole genetic that is in a woman, and it all goes back to the one woman. That DNA hasn't changed. It, if you want to get into the science part of it, but they've found now that it all goes back. And that when you're in Adam, you are in sin. Not because you sinned like Adam, but because you were born in that creation of the first man. And you're in sin, and that person is under the jurisdiction of the law. And that won't change until something dies. Something must die to free you up from that covenant according to what he's saying here in Romans 7. So we'll just read on a little bit. Therefore, my brethren, now that's you and me, what does it say? You also were made to What? You also were made to die. How did that happen? How did that happen? How did you get freed from the law? You were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to Him who was raised from the dead. Who is that? Jesus. In order that we might bear fruit to God. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions were aroused by the law. We were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit to death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that which we were bound, so that we might serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Wow. This is good news. Good news. But by faith, can you say without any hesitation that you died? Did He cause you to die? Well, according to the Scripture, Paul says what in Galatians 2:20? Who can? For I was crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The law has jurisdiction over a man as long as he lives. Huh? You were caused to die, to be set free from the jurisdiction of the law through the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. How did that happen? So the law was to keep the old nature in check and guard our soul until the seed, until Jesus was coming. It was just to keep us in check. Christ, our new nature, is of the one who wrote the law. You hear this? Christ, your new nature, is the one who wrote the law. He wrote the law. The one who penned the law. The one who did the law on Mount Sinai and wrote it on the tablets of stone. He's the one that now has moved in that diagram in my spirit. God is living within me. Do you suppose I need the law? Or is there something greater that's showing up? The one who wrote the law must be greater than the thing he wrote. So God moved in. God moved in. To walk by the law now as a Christian is an insult to the Spirit. And in one sense would make the cross of Jesus Christ of no effect. If you start walking by the law after He's given us Himself and has moved in, I mean, really, it'd be an offense to the cross. And we'd be preaching against the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Serious business. All right, here we go. Matthew 23:27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but the inside is full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you're like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and uncleanliness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Well, all the bad things there, robbery, self-indulgence, uncleanliness, dead bones and all that, that's all speaking of the old nature. That's all speaking of this man full of sin. This man of sin. This man who is in Adam. Who we were. That's what needed to be cleaned out. He wanted to clean the inside of the cup. First clean the inside so that the outside might become clean. So the first picture is the man without Jesus. The law was only... What did the law do? You could make yourself look good on the outside. I tithe. I do all these things. I look really good to everybody else. I can make myself... The law can make you look good on the outside. It can really make you look quite well. And you can put off a pretty good picture by the law. But the law cannot clean the inside. The inside, the law can't do anything about. And Jesus says, first clean the inside. Actually, how do we do that? We can't. But God has removed from us by the circumcision made without hands through the body of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, that corrupt, lawless, unclean old man from us. You know He did that? He come and cleaned the inside of your heart. I will remove the heart of flesh from you. And we'll bury that thing in baptism. Now, I've cleaned the inside of the cup. And I made the house clean, and now I'm moving in. God come and moved into that clean house that Jesus cleaned up through the cross. He did the work. He did the work. And then the soul and the body might become clean. But it's working from the inside out. It works from the inside out. It's not something from the outside in. It's working from the inside out. That's why you can find somebody who looks horrible and they get born again and they still look horrible. They're still doing horrible things. What are you going to see? What eyes do you have? Do you have eyes to see and believe by faith what God has done? Or are you going to go by the outside? We need to see with the eyes of faith. We need to believe with the eyes of faith what God has done in man's heart. God has done that through His Son Jesus Christ on the cross, through the circumcision of the flesh and the removal of that body of sin, and buried it, nailing it to the cross. I'm telling you, that happened. That happened for you and for me. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live by in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Galatians 2:20 and 21. All right. So it is written, the first man became a living soul, the last became a life-giving spirit, the last Adam. You know he was the last Adam? Some people say it was the last Adam, it won't be a third Adam. No, there won't be a third Adam because he was the last one. Because he took all of Adam onto himself and took it to the cross. He was the last Adam. And that last Adam became a living soul. Why was he the last Adam? Because when he died, guess what? All died. All of Adam died. When he died, they all died. He took the whole works with him. So when you're out preaching the gospel, know this, that man was qualified by the Lord Jesus Christ, not by his confession of sins. He could not confess his sins into heaven. Not that confession of sins is wrong, but confession of sins did not qualify man to be saved. Jesus qualified man on the cross. What did he say? We want to do the works of God in John 5. And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish. Okay? Now, I'm just telling you, when you're out preaching the gospel, preach faith in Jesus Christ. Faith towards God. Don't get muddled up with trying to get them to do something to be saved other than believe on what Jesus has done. The Holy Spirit will come and He will deal with the rest of the stuff. The outside will become clean, but it's something that the work of the Holy Spirit is going to do. Every man born of a woman is of the earth. Every man born of God is a heavenly man. We were of the earth in Adam. Now we're of heaven in Christ. Our home is heaven. Christ is now my life in the inner man. But I say, Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. I'm telling you, your body and your soul still has some desires from the old nature because it was there long enough. And so there's still desires in there. He took away the flesh, but the soul still gets it wrong. The soul still gets it wrong. The body gets it wrong. The only one that gets it right is the Spirit of God in us. So you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets the desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're in opposition to one another. I was reading a book. Someone mailed to me. I don't know. It just came in the mail. It was kind of a good book. But he said we got an upside down church. And he was talking about people who serve, you know. He said the world has it where you lord it over, but in the church it's the greatest is the one that's serving. I think it's probably the other way around. I think the kingdom has it right, you know, that the servant is the one on top and the world has it backwards. I think we have an upside down world rather than an upside down kingdom. Let's keep the kingdom upright and the world the problem. Because we have a problem here, Houston. Right here. Let's see. Okay. We are of faith to hear and obey what the Spirit is saying from the innermost parts of our being. That's that innermost Spirit that's inside. You know it. You know when that Spirit is saying something to you. It's coming from the inside and you can't deny it. You know that. But that's a good thing. That's that inside out. You know, it's coming from the inside out. We're never, now get this, I want you to put this one in ink someplace. Whoop. Where am I at? All right, here we go. I'm back. Get this one now. We are never to allow the soul to be in charge of anything. You're never to let the soul be in charge of anything. Your soul is not trustworthy to be in charge of anything. Should I say it one more time? How many of you ever let your emotions run your life? Once or twice. We've all done it. But I'm telling you, your emotions are never supposed to drive your life for anything. The emotions aren't bad. Emotions are good. When they're under the lordship of the Spirit, and the Spirit is letting your emotions do something, that's a whole other thing. Now your emotions are serving the Spirit. Okay? The soul will always fall short of the glory of God. It is Christ in us, in the inner man, the hope of glory. That's what it says in Colossians. It's the hope of glory is Christ in the inside. Now we have some hope that we'll do the right thing, but only by the Spirit. So how important is it to follow the Spirit? You ever thought about that? How important is it to follow the Spirit? Well, I'm going to give you another... I'll give you something to think about anyway. By following the Spirit, you are clothing yourself for the wedding of the Lamb. By following the Spirit, you're clothing yourself for the wedding. For the bride has clothed herself in fine linen, it says in Revelation 19. For the bride has clothed herself in fine linen, which are the righteous acts of the saints. The Spirit has come to lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So when you're following the Spirit, you're doing righteous acts, which are the fine linen for the wedding. It's very important to be following the Spirit. Very important. Which we can only do from being born again. You can't do that without being born again. So our life is now a heavenly life. Our soul is being renewed and our body is under new management. And so is our soul, by the way. We have a new manager. The new manager moved in. And he's the one that takes over and he's the one in charge and he's going to lead you down paths of righteousness. He's going to lead you down good things, doing good works. They're the only works that are good are the works led by the Spirit. Just a couple of things here. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? Fellowship, what is fellowship has with light and darkness? Or what fellowship has light and darkness? Or what harmony has Christ and Belial? And what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. So there's no compatibility between the flesh and the Spirit. Now we often use this scripture talking of partnerships in business or marriage. But I think it fits pretty good here too that there's no compatibility between the flesh and the Spirit. The Spirit is who we are born again. In my flesh lies no good thing. Not one. So, I mean, there's nothing left to try to get out of there. God is not pleased with a mix. If we let our soul or body do what they want, they will not be pleasing to the Lord. The good news is, He won't relent until He has it all. That's good news. He won't relent until He has you all. He's at work in you. He's at work in you to transform you into His image. That's God at work in you. He's at work in you, and He does not get tired. We are the temple of the living God. Our soul and our body must be totally surrendered to the Spirit. Jesus gave us an example, and He said, He did nothing on His own. Wow. Another good song we sing. I can't bring it up. That's okay, huh? Candy said it's okay if I don't bring it up. She's really relieved, probably. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Just continuing on in 2 Corinthians 6. And do not touch what is unclean, and I'll welcome you, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Wow. Wow. You know, this is, who's interceding for you that this will happen? You have a high priest, it says, who intercedes for you every day. He's interceding for you, and He's interceding that you will be all His. He's interceding for you. Come out, come out. This coming out is done by faith. We believe that we are a new creation in Jesus Christ. We believe that. By faith we come out. Once we truly believe, then we have confidence to walk by the Spirit that is in us. Unbelief will convince us that we are still of this world and of this creation. Unbelief will tell you differently. It'll tell you you're just part of this world and you're part of this creation and that's who you are. And you might even hear it in church, you're just a rotten, no good sinner saved by grace. I'm telling you, you're not a rotten, good, no good sinner. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's what we got to believe. We have to believe who we are. Who have you become? Who are we? We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And unbelief will take us back into a religious system based on the written code of the law rather than hearing the Spirit by faith. Sons and daughters with a relationship with our Father, we're back home. We've come home to Him. We are in Him. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of the promise. But as at that time he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. So it is now also. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free woman. That's who we are. But we need to, by faith, cast out this bondwoman and her son, our flesh. Cast out Adam and who we are. We got to remove. Jesus has already done that. Romans 6 says, reckon yourself dead. Reckon it dead. Reckon it dead. So we see here that the flesh is at odds with the Spirit. We by faith believe that Jesus removed our flesh at the cross. And we are now by faith going to reckon it dead. So the victory over the flesh is our faith in who we are in Christ. John 16:33 says this, in this world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I mean, that's good news. 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Wow. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What do you believe? That's where the victory comes, what you believe. Who is the one that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. It's all about believing. It's all about faith in Him. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. We are born of God, not by the will of man, but of God. We are a new creation, and we can no longer live in the old. By faith, we have our eyes open to see who we are in Christ. When you get that straight, you're going to want to serve God and serve Him alone. It's impossible, it says, to serve two masters. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, Romans 12, 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Present your bodies. That's this body, my senses, my brain, and all this stuff that goes along with my body. I lay that on the altar, and I sacrifice it to the Lord, putting it under the subjection of the Spirit. So then the Spirit of God will transform us by the renewing of our mind. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. That's the only way you're going to really know what God's will is for your life, is when you lay everything else on the altar and hear Him. He's the only one who can tell you what the will is for you. You can't read a book and you can't do all this. Now, He might use all that, but I'm telling you, you got to hear from God. You got to know what God is saying to you. He's the one that gives you His will. And you can prove that when you lay everything else down. When you lay your bodies and your soul, everything else down, that's when it's proved. So, we're a spiritual people alive to God. The reign of your soul is over. The reign of your body is over. This Spirit in us is none other than the Lord Himself. For Jesus became both Lord and Christ. Lord and Christ. He saved you, but He also became Lord of your life. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit now dwell in us. They are in us, and we are in them. We have been perfected in unity through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only work we can do is believe, and our faith will overcome the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. So we, like Jesus, are in this world, but we're no longer of the world. So do not let the evil one deceive you and rob you of your identity in Christ. We are now Jesus' sent ones. Did you see that? We are Jesus' sent ones into the world. He said, I send them just as you sent me, the gospel. And I want to close with this, because this is where we're at. This is what you, Tania, who is the other one that was up here? Huh? Joellen and some other ones are out there. Jared. You know, and everybody else out there, it says, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they're sent? I'm telling you, God sent you just as He was sent. He sent you. Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Good news of good things. Go forth into the harvest field. Tell the world of the good news. Jesus has sent us just as He was sent. Be the beautiful feet of our Lord Jesus Christ in this land. And it's already happening. We've heard it happen today. I'm just hoping that I can firm up in you the good news so that you can tell others. If you receive that for yourself, then tell somebody else. You got a song you want to do? That would be good. All right. Well, Lord, I thank you for today. And Lord, I pray that you would dispel any unbelief in our midst, that you would root out the things that aren't true, that we might receive that which is true. Lord, that we would know who we are. We're a spiritual, heavenly being. We're heavenly people. We're a heavenly man in you, Lord. Help us to believe that, to walk in it, and to hear. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, that we might know you and all that you attained for us, that we might grab hold of that. In Jesus' name, amen.